Previously on the Fantastic Worlds podcast.
The Wisps, however, do not stay contained for long, and each of them shoot out towards all of you. Abraxas, you hear someone behind you calling your name.
Hill runner.
Odessa's kind of just looking at the keys a little, and then looking at Jim.
Seeing peasants attacked by a giant creepy bug is Pippa's least favorite thing.
Even with the guy in its mandibles.
Oh, I am unconscious.
When Manette falls on her back, it's like a turtle trying to get up.
I'm like, oh, all this armor, Jesus. I'm so cold, get me up.
After a few seconds, a tall, blonde woman of similar size and shape to Manette, actually, walks up to Ayu.
Thank you very much for saving us. I am forever in your debt.
She's gonna look behind her at where he's, like, still eating the praying mantis and just kind of shrug.
Some men accosted me on my route. I play at a nearby village.
The best lies come from things that people think of themselves.
Odessa groans and, like, lays her head back and is like, okay, here it comes.
I don't like people who do magic. They scare me. And now I can do it.
You hear Pippa all of a sudden coming from Jim's mouth.
Yes, if you have anything you can ask, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Hello, world's travelers. Dustin the Dungeon Master here, or some of you like to call me Game Dad. First off, I'd like to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving, at least those who celebrate. And those who don't, happy normal day, I guess? The next item, I just wanted to let you all know that the World's Traveler contest ends end of day, November 30th. For those of you who haven't heard, the World's Travelers contest is if you go on our social media, either Instagram or Twitter, and make a post to help spread the word about the Fantastic Worlds podcast, and puts our Twitter or Instagram handle in there and uses the hashtag World's Traveler, we will put you in a contest to win a t-shirt from our merch store. Any of the t-shirts on there, you can choose, just let us know and we'll send it out your way. I also wanted to let you guys know that we are in full swing of getting articles on our website again. We took a little hiatus for the month of October because everybody got a little busy, but we are planning on posting at least 1 to 2 articles each week moving forward. We posted 2 articles last week and we plan to post another 2 this week, so stay tuned for that. We had a small problem with Kay's audio for the second half of this episode. Her audio gets a little echoey, but it's not really bad. It's just noticeable. And we just want to let you know that we are working to fix that, and we apologize in advance for this little problem. And with that, I think you guys should all have a very, very happy holiday, and I am going to introduce to you episode 16, The Raven Himself is Raucous. So when we last left our adventures, Pippa, you had a little bit of a surprise, right?
Yeah, apparently Jim wasn't just saying gibberish things this whole time. Apparently those were actually words and whatnot.
Did you guys actually think that Odessa was just pretending that her bear could talk?
No, I mean, you know, I knew that the bear moved and stuff, but I think Pippa thought there was a certain element of, like, comfort.
So you didn't think it was like a Wookiee situation where she could sit there and understand everything Jim had to say and everybody else is like, I don't understand him.
Or an Ewok.
Yeah. Oh.
I think Ewok is a more appropriate.
I'm going to scream. Mm-hmm. I love them analog. So much.
Yeah. So when we last left you, you heard Jim, and I would point this out to you guys as players, but in a much different voice than what Kay hears, you hear in this very civilized tone, "Yes, Pippa, I would be more than happy to discuss anything you would like to know." Odessa, you actually hear this as like, "Pippa, I can talk to you now!"
Okay.
Okay, so Pippa's just gonna kind of like blink very slowly, shake her head a little bit like a dog shaking off water. And then look at Odessa. Your bear talks.
Did you? I mean, I've never seen him talk to anybody else other than, like, my dad before, but I'm sorry. Did you think he didn't talk?
I thought you just, you know, like, understood him on, like, a psychic level.
I mean...
Also, why is he talking to me? Hi, Jim. We've never actually been properly, introduced.
Yes, Pippa. I do not know why I can all of a sudden talk to you. It is very interesting. Odessa, roll me a perception check.
Ooh, boy. That is a whole...
You notice demonic runes all over Jim now.
That is a whole 14 points.
You notice that the ruby part of Pippa's comb is glowing just slightly.
So Odessa is going to kind of tilt her head to the side and lean forward a little bit and inspect it a little closer.
Pippa, do you know that your comb is glowing? Does it glow typically?
Not usually, but I gotta say, a lot of very unusual things have happened to me today, which of this is actually my favorite. This is my favorite thing that's happened today, out of all of the weird shit.
I mean, talking to a teddy bear always makes me feel better.
Pippa reaches up into her hair and takes out her comb and kind of turns it over, and it's like eyeballing the ruby. She's like, I had actually forgotten that it had turned a different color.
Do you have detect magic, Abs?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you roll me, do that and roll me a spellcraft?
That was a 13 on spellcraft?
You detect magic and you kind of focus down on it and you realize that it's kind of faint, that ruby is a faint divination glow. And I think between the two, you kind of realize that picking up just here and there, you kind of in the back, you're going that this is kind of like the spell, how the spell tongues works. And just to kind of break it down, basically once per day, you can cast tongues now.
Which means that I can understand animals or understand foreign languages being spoken to me, or both.
Basically, the spell grants the creature touched the ability to speak and understand the language of any intelligent creature, whether it is a racial tongue or a regional dialect. The subject can speak only one language at a time, although it may be able to understand several languages. So it didn't work exactly like the spell works in this situation, but... whatever happened, something with Jim and something with your conversation activated it. And now it functions that way.
Well, this day just keeps getting stranger and stranger.
I mean, do you want to... I don't know, Jim, what do you have to say?
I don't have much to say right now. I realized that you could hear me.
I do have several questions. So I'm going to ask him before this wears off, whatever it is. Did you know that man? He certainly knew you. The man who died earlier.
Odessa asked me a similar question, and I do not know him. I just felt compelled, or like he's somebody from my past, and I do not know where he came from. It just felt the need to help him, like, kind of like the feeling of an old friend.
And Odessa tells me her father created you. Do you have any memories before that?
My first memory is Odessa as a small girl holding me tightly, and I don't remember much before that. I think I existed before that, but it's kind of just a fuzzy, wuzzy memory.
A fuzzy, wuzzy memory. Wow.
Odessa's just giggling.
You're so dumb, Jim.
Quite right, Odessa. Or, sorry.
Yeah, I am.
Creepiest teddy bear that's ever existed.
Oh my god, no, he's so much cuter than that. Dustin's making him sound like Chucky.
I just watched that today.
Let me try again.
Good taste.
Here you go. Yeah, I am, Nadessa. We're best friends.
There we go. That's better.
So much cuter. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, is there something else I should be asking Jim? I can't. He doesn't remember, so I don't know.
Sure, after a minute, you know, I think he realizes you're kind of dumbfounded. He's like, we can talk at other times. And he comes up and just gives you a big hug and then goes back and hops back on Odessa's shoulder.
I think that was kind of new to both of us because up until like 2 minutes ago, I was pretty sure I was the only one who could talk to him. So
this has been a day. We've had a day.
Yeah, man. We've had a day. I think perhaps... I need to lay down.
I think that's wise. Even though, Jim, if you wanted to, I was promised earlier this morning that there would be time to snuggle because I'm still feeling a little weird.
Jim, if you wanted to keep me company.
Jim looks over to Odessa.
Odessa just shrugs and says, buddy, if you want to sit out here in the cold and cuddle with Pippa, all the power to you. I am going to snuggle up with Abraxas because he is currently a giant, fluffy, soft-eared good boy. And that is all I want.
So Jim hops off your shoulder and goes and sits in Pippa's lap. And I'm guessing Odessa goes to bed.
Yeah, Odessa's literally just going to like curl up next to Abraxas. Like you do when you have a very, very large dog and you're like, you are little spoon now.
And I think Pippa, with her kind of newfound, I don't know, being able to kind of sense magic and just kind of the flow of energy through things, I think she's going to try a quick spellcraft on Jim.
Okay.
Probably nothing. That was a 15.
Yeah, you know that he is a construct of some sort. That's about all you pick up. You know, it's going to take a lot more research to understand what is Jim. I don't even think Odessa fully knows what Jim is.
I think that's the major question of this whole story. What is Jim?
What is Jim?
What the F is Jim?
So, Pippa, you're sitting there. There's a fire close by because there's no way you would survive probably out in the cold. What does Pippa think about while you know, kind of sitting there the last few hours before the sun comes up?
Well, I think because, you know, she and Odessa had a conversation just about kind of a few of the things that had happened to her and that vision before, magic suddenly awakened in her. And but she kind of kept the whole vision of her mother's death to herself. So I'd say that mm-hmm. is very much what she's thinking about right now, kind of gazing out into the darkness and thinking about how she'd never, she'd had her guesses about how her mother had died, but she'd never really, really seen it. She definitely hadn't been there when it had happened. So I think right now she's thinking a lot about her mother.
Okay.
And about where she would have gotten this freaking comb and what it might be and whether or not like her newfound power is coming from the comb or from something else.
Or maybe a little bit of both.
Sure. Or maybe a little bit of both.
also an option.
So yeah, you're sitting there and keeping to your thoughts, and as the sun kind of begins to pierce overhead over the snowy hills, for the first time in, I'd say, probably a while, you actually feel a natural warmth from something. The sun is giving away that. The heavy storm that hit that night has cleared up, so it's just the sun hitting you. So even in the cold, you feel that nice warmth that comes from the sun. Slowly, the camp begins to wake up. Nadia's team starts to break down the camp to start heading out. She comes to all of you. I imagine all of you are starting to wake up as well. And she goes, the storm has passed. We must get moving. You notice that Nadia has deep, dark circles under her eyes, like someone who has been crying and did not get much sleep. But her actions and her movements do not show the fatigue of a woman who has been through as much as you all imagine she's been through.
I think Manette immediately offers Nadia like a very quiet hug off to the side of everyone, sort of like, I'm sorry, and you know, we're here for you, and I know we just met, but I hope you're doing okay. And sort of says all that to her and lets her go, and then, you know, says whatever she can do, she'll do it.
She kind of gives you a small smile and thanks you. You guys get on the way. The snow, you know, you've kind of entered what would be a valley of snow. The trees are kind of on the outskirts. And it's kind of nice because you guys have been going through trees and forests constantly. So to have a nice, clearer opening has been really nice. And this is going to be an all-day travel. Nadia has told you as much. And as you guys are going down the way, you guys are kind of together. You're kind of grouping up. Nadia says you guys don't really need to keep watch. That's what her men and women are for. Her team is to kind of keep watch on things. She just tells you guys to be prepared. So you guys are traveling for a while. And what you notice, though, as you're in this valley, the snow starts to get a little deeper. I'd say it's about 3 feet tall. Pippa, how you doing with that snow?
Well, I'm not going to lie. The snow is taller than her.
Shorty.
So she's doing about as well with the snow as you might expect. I think that she's trying to walk in the way in Manette's wake. Like she's like whatever path Manette has carved through the snow is where Pippa is doing her best to walk. She's been a halfling in a human-sized world her entire life, and so she has learned certain compensating techniques for that. And then also she doesn't like being treated like a child, which is how a lot of humans kind of default to treating her because she's so small. So she's very much trying to stiff up her lip it.
Yeah, Manette has hella noticed that she's like following in her wake and is trying to kick more snow out of the way.
So she's just being very prideful.
Just like not acknowledging it, but just being like, yep, kick.
This is just how I move normally.
Always do this.
That actually reminds me, why don't you all roll me a fortitude save except for those that don't need to?
Oh, I forgot to cast
do
that.
Do I still need to? Do I need to?
Yes, I forgot to do it this morning.
It is all good.
25.
So in addition to, you know, partially because I'm sure she's walking through snow that's taller than her, she did not do so good on her fortitude save. The cold is definitely getting to her a little bit because she rolled an 11.
Ooh, I got a 30. No.
Okay, well, everybody is okay except for Pippa. By the way, the DC for this was 21.
Ooh. Damn it.
Gosh, bless it.
Abraxas, you notice that Pippa's kind of fallen behind, not because she's not capable, it's because she's starting to get a little hypothermic.
The minute he sees that, he's familiar what that look is, and he's kicking himself. He's actually, well, you know, he doesn't leave footprints. He can walk on the snow without disturbing it. He loves the snow, so I think after, well, you know, the other day he kind of came out of the wolfy closet. You know, he's in the environment that he loves, so I think he forgot and he was getting just really excited being back in a homish environment. And when he turns around just to kind of smile and check in on everyone, he's like, oh dear, huff puff, I completely forgot protective magics for you all. Gather around here. He rubs his hands together and holds both Pippa and Manette's hand, and you feel warmth coming through, like if you were right by a campfire, and now you're enveloped in endure elements. I prepared this one as a level 2 one, Dustin, so we can do communal.
Ooh.
So I'm going to give Pippa 10 hours, Manette 10 hours, and I'll do 4 hours for myself.
Okay.
Since my plus against the cold is really high.
You're all feeling a little better. I would say that Pippa is a little fatigued, not like condition fatigue, just like between the hypothermia and everything.
I'm really sorry, Pippa. That won't happen again. I'll endeavor to be more observant. I got distracted by the snow.
That's all right. I feel much better. But you know, no need to expend energy until we absolutely need to, right?
All right. He still looks like a little guilty.
She's just, like, patting him on the knee, like what she can reach. She's, like, reached up and is just, like...
He does a little...
There.
Odessa, you see this hand kind of come up through the snow and is patting Abraxas on his knee.
Odessa just, like, sighs and kind of just watches the whole exchange and walks over to Pippa. Pippa, can we just swallow your pride for just a minute? And why don't you crawl underneath my coat and I can give you a piggyback ride and you can be warm in there. And not drowning in white, icy bullshit. Come
on. That sounds normal.
A little warmth will do you good, health-wise there, Pippa.
Pippa just kind of sighs. And she's like trying to just like, but her teeth are still chattering a little bit. And she's just like,
stop being stupid.
Hey, Pippa, the greatest wealth is health. Hey, Abraxas has totally extra points in charisma now. He knows how to use them. Oh, and wisdom is his highest stat. So come on, little nuggets of wisdom.
Fake so deep. Pippa is That's just, what wisdom is.
Pippa is completely charmed by that. And she's like, oh, all right, I guess letting your friends help you every once in a while isn't the worst thing.
Get by with a little help from my friends. Come on.
Mm-hmm. I get high with a little help from my friends.
Yes, exactly. Please. Literally high.
Literally a little high. Cool. So yeah, Pippa accepts the ride with All as right. much grace as her outsized halfling pride is capable of.
So you guys continue down the walk a little bit. An hour passes. Anybody else going to be doing anything?
I think Abraxas is feeling a little energized, pulling out a little nugget of wisdom for Pippa. Now he's a little bit more comfortable that they're protected from the elements. Abraxas is going to get out the spear that manhunting. Oh, it is a spear of manhunting. That manhunting spear that we got from the troll. And is going to do, when you're a kid and either you're sweeping and you spin it around like, you're like a monk, you're doing kung fu with
Got my bow staff.
Your bow, yeah, do the bow staff moves. Abraxas is totally going to be spinning it around, but he's noticing some weight. So he's going to slowly make his way towards Manette and say, hey, Manette, do you have a moment?
Of course, yeah.
All right, You're pretty handy with a variety of human weapons. I feel the weight on this. Is this a little off to you?
As Abraxas passes over the spear to Manette, Manette notices that the spear kind of just grows a little bit to fit her larger, taller frame. And it's like almost made to fit your size. The weight feels fine to you as an experienced warrior. I would say it's just designed to be a spear, and Abraxas maybe isn't somebody who's used a spear a lot.
Interesting. And I do a couple spins just with one hand. Listen, I'm a martial artist in real life, and I have a bow staff.
Nice.
Yeah, you do.
A real life bow staff.
That's awesome.
So I'm imagining how I flip my bow staff with one hand. That's exactly what I'm doing with the spear. Just flipping it around with one hand, kind of, doing my moves with it. And I'm like, wow, this is quite an interesting spear, not something I've handled before. And I hand it back to him.
That looked amazing. You need to can you train me? Can you teach me to? I'm so used to using my scimitar. I've used spears in the past, but this weight's just a bit off. I want to be able to use it effectively in battle. I'm not always going to be in wolf form. Is great to trip, and it does offer me a good amount of protection, but I'm not used to casting in that form, so...
Yeah, of course. I would love nothing more. Oh, I love to fight.
Abraxas is like super happy. If he wasn't wolf form, his tail would be totally wagging. But you could tell when you were spinning it, he did like the little anime eye or Steven Universe eyes with the stars in him. He was like, yeah. And he's picturing himself like spinning around like a total badass.
Oh, you can learn that in a day, my friend. That's just, it's all fluff, what I was just doing. Really, when you're actually handling it, it's going to look a little bit different. But I can teach you that in a single day.
And I would say that the weight, Manette, when you touch it, the weight, what you probably figure out is happening is Abraxas just hasn't used a well-designed spear. It's probably been just cheap spears with cheap little heads on them. This is actually something that's very well-designed and very well-made. Yeah.
I'm just used to poking stuff with sticks.
Just a sharp stick.
As one does.
Abraxas, why don't you roll me a perception check there?
Ooh, all right. That's a 22, my friend.
You notice Odessa's kind of fallen behind. She was keeping up with you guys pretty well, but I think it's been a couple hours. You know, she's kind of fallen behind a little bit. You kind of see a strain on her face from she's carrying a lot of extra weight. Not a lot of extra weight, excuse me. That was very rude of me. I'm sorry, Pippa.
Yikes.
Excuse me?
Rude. Well.
I weigh 27 pounds.
Well, it's gym
Thank
plus.
You very much.
Gym yeah, Jim's also there.
So she's carrying an extra 27 pounds. And I think she was, you know, so, she, you know, I think it's probably just over time, you know, a little bit of a stamina thing. So, yeah, you notice that.
Then I'm going to, I think I'm going to mosey on over. And as I do that kind of under my armor, I pull out like a little charm that looks like a small pulley. And I'm going to clutch it in my hands, focus it. And what I'm doing is I'm casting Ant Hall on myself. So in essence, this triples my carrying capacity. And I'm going to mosey on over. Again, I'm right on the snow.
Hey, Pippa, how about we scout out ahead and show these caravanners how experts do it? And then I shift into wolf form and kind of like, you know, point to my, or like, you know, indicate to jump on my back. Murr? Murr?
Pippa kind of laughs and she just says like, I'd be lying if I said that I hadn't kind of wanted to do this since the first time you changed into a wolf, Abraxas.
Odessa's going to kneel down and let you go.
So Pippa shimmies off of Odessa and then kind of like climbs up onto Abraxas' back.
You can just see the jealousy in Jim's eyes. In his little teddy bear head, he's just like, that could have been me.
I want fan art of this so badly right now.
Yes. Wolf Rider. And since I don't have any movement restrictions on like snow or ice, I'm just going to use my, you know, full movement to bob in between, you know, the little caravans, scout out a little ahead, you know, definitely make a show that, you know, we're scouting using our keen, seasoned adventure perceptions.
Mm-hmm. And by you mean scouting out, you mean frolicking.
Yes.
Guilty.
Level 3 adventuring.
All right. Oh, the good stuff.
I think what this actually seeing this brings out even a smile in of all Nadia, and even a small smirk at a Nadia, probably something the first time you've seen since she learned about Thor. It wasn't like a laugh, but just a kind of a small curl of the lip. And you see the men kind of laughing at it. At the same time, a little fearful because, usually humans that can turn into wolves are bad guys. So, they, you know, you notice that as well. But they're not like, they know you're a good guy. The sky looks clear to all of you, and the sun is reflecting the snow, so that probably makes your vision a little more harder to see. But Nadia is a trained hunter, and when you guys look over to her, she has raised her fist, and everybody comes to a full stop.
What's up there?
She kind of...
I mean, you're in wolf form, Angel.
I know. Can I look
I
up?
I think that's his doggo voice in his head.
Oh, that's his doggo voice in his own head.
What's that? What's that guy? Like,
everybody's quiet. Everybody starts to wrangle. Like, everybody's starting to move around a little bit. And everybody, you know, like, not being as quiet as they can be. And she turns around and goes, shh. Braxis, roll me a perception check.
20.
You don't see them at first, but you hear them. Ka, ka, ka.
Crows.
Not just a little bit. It's not one or two, but hundreds. You look into the direction of the sound and you see some, you look in the direction and you see some black specks in the distance. It's an unkindness of ravens. Nadia turns to her team and yells, Varps! Your southern clothes will give you away. We must hide quick. The tarps will provide camouflage. Giant white tarps unfurl and get thrown over the sleds as well as all of you. She whispers to everybody, the ravens have keen eyesight and hearing and to be quiet. I need you all to roll me a stealth check.
Oh no.
Uh-oh. Oh god.
Cool. Tight. Manette's gonna do so good at that.
You all get a +5 circumstance bonus because of the tarps.
Oh great.
Ooh, it's okay. Still being... Oh, okay, that's not terrible. 17.
30.
Stealth high five.
Stealth 5. Abraxas and Pip are the champions.
Nah, man.
We're clanky. Hank the clank.
Clang and bang
here.
Back here. Just
clang
like.
And bang.
I think that's an episode title, Clang and Bang.
That's our ship title, too.
Nice. So. Oh, love it.
Oh, I love that. Heart. That's such a good
Hank
idea.
Hank came up with that one.
I did come up with that.
Clang and bang.
I was really proud of myself.
So,
yeah, buddy.
You hear the ravens get closer and closer, and of course you can't see them because you're hiding under the tarps, and you feel them land around you guys. They don't seem to notice you. You hear them kind of climbing up the tarps and stuff, but they don't even really think about it. You hear the gunshot of Odessa's gun bang against Manette's armor.
No!
Clang and bang.
Literal clang.
And everything's quiet. You know, you hear the ravens cawing, but nothing seems to happen. And then all of a sudden at once, the ravens start shredding the tarps. Roll for initiative.
Those damn birds.
I hate swarms.
Pippa, what did you get?
22.
Damn.
Yeah.
Odessa?
26.
Abraxas?
16.
What'd you roll for initiative there, Jess?
I got a 16 total.
The swarm technically got a surprise, but they used it to tear apart the tarps. And Odessa, you are up.
Odessa is going to take a move back 5 feet. And in the process, she's going to kind of yank her gun off her back and try really hard not to hit Manette in the process because they were pretty close. And then after, she is going to just kind of hit the butt of her gun against her heel. And what you see happen is there's this cylinder towards the butt of her gun, and it'll spin, and she'll hit it again, and it'll click into place. And that is her loading her scatter condition onto her gun. So then she's going to lift it up, shove an entangling shot in there, and she is going to shoot that raven.
Quote the raven nevermore. Shoot away.
Okay, that is a 17 to hit against touch.
That is a hit.
Dustin, roll me a reflex save.
Let's see how they do. Ha, 26.
Oh.
Fuck you, Dustin. Those are some
agile. I rolled a natural 20. Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, well, she tried.
So, I don't even know what the crows see this weird, like, metal shiny object being pulled out of them, and it interests them, and they fly up just as you're shooting, and they just miss. The projectile goes right under them as you do that, and it is now Pippa's turn to kill the ravens.
So Pippa kind of draws one arm back. She's really getting into enjoying being able to fling magic around like this, so she's also started developing a lot of dramatic gestures that go with it. So she kind of draws one arm back and makes a sweeping, very decisive motion toward the raven closest to her and launches a magic missile at them. That's 2 points of damage. Take it, bird.
You literally see two out of hundreds of ravens fall to the ground. It is the raven's turn, and there is one set of ravens that can't. It really, really wants to move to Odessa, but unfortunately, it can't do that, so it's stuck where it's at. So only Pippa, Abraxas, and Manette are going to take damage this round.
Hooray! So,
let's see. Abraxas, you take 5 points of damage. Pippa, you take 6 points of damage.
Really?
And, wow, I'm rolling really well. Manette, you take 6 points of damage.
I'm happy you took zero damage, Dustin. How do you like them? How do you like them, ravens?
How do you like that, DR?
Are you? Oh yeah, you are in wolfy form, aren't you?
Yep.
The damage reduction.
Manette, it is your turn. There are hundreds and hundreds of birds poking at your eyes and your face and everywhere about you.
There's not much I can do in this situation, frankly.
Headbutt them.
Headbutt the swarms are the worst.
Manette is going to frantically draw her scimitar and, with fumbling, shaking hands, take a swipe at the closest, you know, sort of cluster of ravens that she can get at. 20.
That's a hit. Roll me damage.
10.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty big chunk of them. You basically, you're swinging around, and there's just so many of them at this point. It doesn't matter where you go. You're hitting them, and there's probably about a 30 or 40 that have just fallen to the ground all around you. Abraxas is going to have a really good meal when he's done.
Oh, yeah.
Tasty.
Take a couple on the road, a couple of roadies.
Speaking of tasty meals, Abraxas, you're up.
Okay. Abraxas is going to just jump into the fray. He's going to go in. You know how animals go in the beach, you know, chasing at everything, snapping everything. That's me. I'm going to go full on, just jump into the swarm. He doesn't care. Snapping at anything that's coming close to him, growling, baring his teeth, hair bristling. That's going to be a 19.
A 19 is a hit.
And that's a total of 10 damage.
What kind of, this is...
Slashing, piercing, bludgeoning.
So it can be any of those. Okay. Well, you notice that as you're you know, like twirling around and biting at things, that it's not the pointy parts of your teeth that seem to get them. It's the just catching them in your whole mouth and like just bludgeoning them with your mouth as you're running around.
The big chew.
Seems to be doing a lot of damage. And what did you do again?
Oh, damage 10.
And they're still hurt. They're still there, but they're flying around. They've definitely taken some damage.
I'm going to angle my head a little bit and crunch, hopefully giving Pippa and Odessa, they're the ones closest to me, I kind of maybe trying to give them a clue of what's really helping.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Big old bite.
So you see Nadia actually go back 15 feet and she yells to you all, "Spread out, you fools!" She takes out her composite longbow and she aims it.
Heck.
How rude.
Rude,
bitch.
Giving us northerners a bad name.
And she rolls a natural 20.
Oh my god.
I take it all back.
Noise. Dustin's just on fire today.
I don't like when my NPCs roll well, though.
He always rolls well with Nadia.
And she confirms with a 17. So she actually gets a +2 versus animals. So she's going to do a lot of damage. She does 8 points of damage times 3 is 24 points of damage. She pulls back on her composite longbow and she just aims. And I don't know what it is. All the birds are kind of flowing back and forth. And she just hits it just at the perfect time where a whole bunch of them are lined up. And she just slices through a whole bunch of them. She shish kebabs them, basically.
Wow.
And they all fall to the ground with an arrow. However, there is still a few up. But they are, they're panicking a little bit. Odessa, it is your turn.
Dibs on the shish kebab. I mean,
dibs.
Okay, so I am going to step back, 10 feet of movement. And she is going to fire again with that entangling shot and see if maybe she can do it. All right, that is a 19 against touch.
That hits.
So you need to roll me a reflex save, my man.
Does a 6 pass?
No, it doesn't. Okay.
So there's not many birds left, and you can tell they're just getting ready to turn tail. They did not expect to take this much hurt this fast, and as they're starting to get ready to take off, they just get hit with an entangling shot and all the remaining ones get captured and fall to the ground. And they're stumbling.
Nice.
Pippa, it's your turn. There is an entangled bunch of birds sitting on the ground.
Just birds everywhere?
Yeah.
I mean, can she just take her dagger and start cutting their heads off? If they're on the ground and can't move anyway, like...
Brutal.
Can she just coup de grace, like... a cluster of ravens on the ground next to
Well,
her.
I'm going to get them a flat-footed, so go ahead and roll me an attack.
Okay. Because
they're still wrangling around. They're just stuck to something.
Yeah, no, but she can just stab the shit out of them now. And that's all she's got, my man. Since I'm not actually shooting them, I don't get my range bonus, so that would be an 18.
That hits.
Awesome. 3.
That's all you needed. That you just sit there and you just stab
Start
through the
slicing.
Remaining light.
K-k-k-k-k.
You're like, we're gonna have Raven for dinner tonight.
Just like shanking him.
Just like die.
You have murdered this unkindness of ravens. You have done such an unkind thing there, Pippa.
Well, you know, they attacked me first.
They did. That's true.
You just went like brutal on them.
Kind There's this tragic bird everybody. Background story that we don't know about Pippa.
She doesn't like stuff messing with her hair. That's probably pretty much the whole story.
Yeah, that's valid, actually. It seems right for her.
Nadia goes up to the with the arrow to grab the arrow of all the ravens she shot, and she flings them off and takes the arrow and puts it back in her bag.
Oh, even the shish kebab one? That's a good portable way to carry him and snack.
Odessa's literally going to turn to Abraxas and be like, snack.
I mean, you can toss some of them in the bag of holding. We'll keep
this
them.
One actually makes sense.
All right, Abraxas is going to package up a couple of these to go.
Would you like a doggy bag?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm too fucking funny.
I definitely needs a little salt.
Uh-oh. Did you take the feathers off by any chance, or are we just... No? No?
No, no. It's that right. Fiber.
As Nadia walks back to you guys, you see her kind of flip the bow around in her hand and put it on her back. She is definitely a badass woman.
Now, Nadia, where did these things come from? Is this common? You seem ready for them.
They are products of the witches. They are very scouts. Or wicked beasts.
Well, they may have a psychic connection with their owner. This could be a problem.
I don't think they do. I think they have to go back to let them know. So I think we are okay.
Odessa eyeballs Abraxas and is like, well, if they do, it's going to be really awkward as he, like, those birds pass through his small intestine.
Let them take a look.
Oh, I don't think it works anymore when they're dead, but would be hilarious.
You didn't clarify.
Nadia signals to her crew, who kind of went off to the side with the dog sleds to be protected, and they come back and you guys get all ready to go. Abraxas, why don't you roll me a fortitude save. Why don't you roll me a fortitude save?
Ooh, that is 34.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Come on, man.
Oh, my God.
I have a lot of stuff for the cold. Sorry, I rolled really well.
You have you're lucky out too, because that was a DC 30, by the way.
Oh gosh.
Oh my gosh.
So Nadia gets everybody together and everybody gets organized, and you get going again with Pippa riding on Abraxas's back. After, you know, spending most of the day traveling, I think you guys stop a few times to warm up, I'm saying, by a fire, because even Nadia's men get cold. They need to warm up. So they'll light a small fire, warm up, and then they'll keep going to try to keep that fortitude save down, basically. So you finally emerge from the Horrorwood Forest, and for the most part, you're relatively unscathed. In the distance, you see the town you saw the lights of when you first arrived in Irisin. Nadia sighs and begins to move forward again, and after a few steps, stops and turns towards you. Please follow my lead in town. We will get you to my cabin and settled. The townsfolk are very suspicious of outsiders. So she kind of guides you guys into the town. When you arrive, you see a small gathering of folks who are awaiting Nadia's return. Nadia greets those residents concerned for her safety. All of you see many villagers whispering concern. Some are pointing at Manette's colorful garb and distinct look. Others are looking at Abraxas. They have a scared look in their eyes and are grabbing their children and hiding them behind them. You see another group of excited and intrigued people. You know, you get the impression that they're maybe hoping that you newcomers brought wares from the south to trade, not yet realizing you are not merchants. Nadia does her best to lead you all past the crowd of people. When she finally does, she quickly escorts you to a stout, unassuming cabin on the edge of town.
Before we make it to the cabin, I would like to roll to see if I know anyone.
Oh. Roll me a percentage die.
I was promised I could do this. Yeah, that is 100.
Are you serious?
Oh, shit, really?
Ooh, my face is turning red. I'm a little sweaty.
All right, Destin, who does she know?
Jesus.
The blacksmith's daughter.
Hell yeah.
It's fine. My next roll is, are you guys ready? My next roll is roll for babes.
Roll for babes.
Roll for babes.
A man approaches you, and you instantly recognize him as Amir Pulavar. He is the town's blacksmith and happens to be a friend of your father's. You remember as a young kid, him coming to visit once or twice over your childhood to go visit your father. He is shocked to see you, and he runs up and gives you a big hug. He's like, what are you doing here?
It's kind of a really long story. We can sit down and talk about it sometime, but it's not a 5-minute story for sure.
He's like, yes, yes, you must come and visit me. Why don't you come by tomorrow sometime and we can talk?
That would be wonderful. I have a lot to tell you, and B, if you wouldn't mind me maybe using some of your supplies, that would be really great.
Yes, yes, of course. Your father is a good and trusted friend. I'm so sorry to hear what happened to him. Yes, you're more than welcome to come over tomorrow. And he kind of bows and runs off, because Nadia is kind of pulling you guys and go, okay, guys, we need to get to the house. So you did meet somebody.
Pippa is flabbergasted. She's like,
you really do know everyone.
Know someone from Irisin?
How the fuck?
I know a lot of people, guys. I know a lot of people.
And you never thought to mention it?
I mean, I'm mentioning it now. I kind of just know everybody.
Nadia goes, come on, guys. We need to yes, keep going.
Nadia. Oh, excuse fine. Where? Okay, Nadia. Jesus Christ.
We're right behind you.
Oh, that isn't a god here. Good Kepri.
I
sorry,
approve.
Manette, I don't mean to take your lord's name in vain.
No, it's cool.
When you arrive in Nadia's home, you see two twin boys rush out and hug her. Nadia hugs them tight as if they were her world. Have you boys been good for Kashka while I've been gone? Right? They step back and in sync look at each other and smile mischievously and then nod their heads back at Nadia. In unison, they say, we've been good, mother. As soon as they say that, an old woman comes out. She looks sweet and unassuming. They have been a delight, Nadia. Wish all kids were as well-mannered as your boys. These are my two boys, Orm and Moli. And this is my friend Kashka, who looks over them while I'm away. Nadia goes over to the stove and opens the lid on the pot. Abraxas, your nose is instantly filled with the smell of venison stew.
Oh my gosh, yes, drool.
Nadia then shows you to a room, and once you've all settled, before I join you all, I must deliver the food shipment to the storeroom and going to escort Kashka home. Then we shall eat. Odessa, you notice that the fire is getting a little low and there's no firewood stacked up. Kashka is good at watching two little boys, but she probably didn't have the strength in the world to keep the firewood up.
She's going to, I think, kind of mentally take it upon herself to do that. And she doesn't want to necessarily take Jim outside with her because he's small. Also, I think she instinctively just kind of wants to let him play with the little boys because he's a teddy bear. Like, he likes children. And so she takes him off her shoulder and kind of like says, okay, Jim, I see you. Here, go ahead. And so he like wanders over to little boys and I am assume play. Because I don't know how old were they?
They're like 9 and 10.
Oh yeah, perfect. He like meanders over to go play with them. And Odessa's gonna kind of turn to Manette and be like, hey, would you mind going with me to get some firewood?
Oh, absolutely. Good idea.
So Odessa is going to just say, okay, come on, let's go find some firewood. And when they kind of get outside, Odessa's gonna turn to Minette and she looks like physically, like visibly uncomfortable, and she's fidgeting. And as she's like walking forward towards the firewood and then just kind of like turns around and, Minette, I think maybe we should talk. It's stupid because it's probably not even something you remember, and I'm probably blowing it so much out of proportion, but I just kind of wanted to clear the air because it's in my brain. So would you happen to remember, like, it must have been like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 days ago when we were in a bar and then you kissed me and then we just haven't talked about it at all, and I'm sure you probably have totally forgotten, but I just kind of wanted to make sure that you're on the same page of just kind of letting it go.
Manette swallows because I think she's also feeling awkward for probably one of the first times in her life. She's not really looking at you. She kind of looks at the ground and she's, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. I'm sorry that I shouldn't have. I didn't ask. It wasn't with your permission. I've been feeling pretty guilty, actually.
Well, that's not what I expected for you to say. Why guilty?
It's one thing to flirt and seem receptive, and it's another to actually be receptive. I didn't ask you. I just acted impulsively, and I don't know.
So she's just kind of tugging on her braid and looks down and is definitely not making eye contact.
So I guess I just... You're like, guilt or not, you shouldn't feel guilty. It's fine. I'm not upset about that. You're just like a really good person. You have a really kind heart and you're clearly in touch with your feelings. I am absolutely none of those things. I don't want to put you in a situation where we have to feel awkward because I have no ability to do those things. Does that make sense?
Sort of. What do you... You don't have the ability to get in touch with your feelings? Is that what you're saying?
No, well, I mean, there's probably some truth to that. But I guess just looking at history of my life, I am not good at any kind of relationship, friend or otherwise, which is why I am out here adventuring with you guys and not at the place where I would have considered my home, because I have no ability to navigate feelings with any sort of responsibility or clarity. And I don't want to pull you into a situation where we have to be traveling together and it being awkward because I mess everything up.
Listen, you're being too hard on yourself. I respect your wishes if that's how you feel and you don't want there to be... Frankly, I don't know. I've been thinking about the fact that I kissed you. As I said, I felt guilty. But I've also been confused. I don't know why I did it, but there was a reason. It wasn't without something there. And it's perfectly fair for you to want things to run smoothly in our group, especially with the task at hand. It's, I guess, you know, TPO. It's not the right time, place, or occasion. But I do want you to... I don't want you to feel that way about yourself. I don't want you to believe that you're incapable or that you're not capable of changing, if that's true now.
You're not the first person to say that. I, 6 months ago, was in a relationship with someone who had a very similar ideology about me getting better or improving myself or not being a mess. And we worked together at the brothel that I was living at for 3 or 4 years before that. And she was great and she was lovely and she took very good care of me, but that did not stop me from cheating on her, like, despite the, like, clear agreement you'd have to have working where we worked. Regardless, cheated on her. She found out. She got really upset. My coping mechanism was to shut her down and leave in the middle of the night and say goodbye to no one. And then I met Pippa, and now here I am. So, I mean, I feel like it's a good example of my inability to people well.
Minette is looking at Odessa very seriously now and is looking her in the eye. In spite of the seriousness of this conversation, she kind of smirks and says, Odessa, I've hurt someone who loved me too. I took everything from him, in fact. Does that make me incapable, in your eyes, of becoming different?
Odessa's kind of doing that thing you do where you're uncomfortable and you're like moving your weight from one foot to another and you're like, I kind of want to walk away, but this conversation is forcing me to stay here because walking away right now would be really rude, but God, I'm so uncomfortable. And is just going to try to look up at her and like meet her eyes.
I mean, no, but you've shown and proven by almost getting yourself killed, I don't know, like 3 times now,
that you clearly care about people in a very obvious feelings way. And I think that is redeeming, in my opinion.
What exactly makes you different from me? Why do you consider yourself irredeemable? You've done many heroic acts yourself, and it seems like you are saying, I've done all these things, I'm so amazing, but you can't say that about yourself. Listen, I'm perfectly happy to do as you've asked, to take a step back. Gods know we both have a lot going on right now, but I hope that you'll think about what I've said, and when we find the space and the time, we can talk again. I'll be frank, I've gone 16 years believing myself incapable of love, especially any strong form of love. For obvious reasons, there's no way I would know what I'm feeling for you now. We barely just met. I want you to at least value yourself, and to know that you're as deserving of love and happiness as anyone else. If you can start to feel that way and things stop being so crazy and there's something still between us at that time, I hope you'll give us a chance.
Odessa, I think, is just going to get this really stubborn, kind of like irritated look on her face and just, Manette, I just, ugh. And she's going to turn around and grab wood and just like walk back inside.
Manette is going to let that slide. She's not going to try and press you, Odessa, more. As she was saying it, she could feel that was going to be a conversation ender, but she had to say it. She felt like it was the right thing to say, and so she slings a considerable pile of wood into her arms, her big, strong arms, and and lugs it inside behind her, feeling a lot calmer, actually, than I think she expected to feel at the beginning of the conversation.
Novella. Whoa. I was in full novella mode.
After a while, Nadia returns with an armload full of clothes. I've brought clothes so that you may blend in with us. She hands each of you essentially the equivalent of a local traveler's outfit, so that you can wear an irisin to appear more like the locals of Waldsby and blend in. Well, she looks over to Met, eyeing up and down her tall frame, but at least most of you will blend in. Also, for bringing Thora to me, I offer you this. It's the least I can do. She hands over a pair of snowshoes. Oh. And they're called the Snowshoes of Northern Pursuit.
Oh, they've got a name. That means they got to do something cool.
Day magic.
But these masterwork snowshoes provide greater stability and weight distribution in the snow. The snowshoes completely negate the effects of normal snow on movement and reduce the movement penalties in heavy snow by half. It only costs 2 squares of movement to enter a square covered by heavy snow instead of 4 squares. In addition, the wearer can increase her land speed movement in snowy terrain by 10 feet for up to 10 rounds per day. They are considered an enhancement bonus, and the duration need not be spent in consecutive rounds. Finally, as a standard action once per day, the snowshoes can generate a ripple effect that removes all traces of tracks left in the snow in a 60-foot radius.
Whoa!
What? Wow.
Shit, damn.
That is awesome.
I was gonna ask.
We should give those to Manette.
Just because you guys are ranged.
Yay. Well,
now Manette can carry Pippa everywhere with no movement speed.
Exactly.
That's the other thing, is that everybody has snowshoes now.
Yay. So she brings,
oh, yay. Okay.
Even halfling sized snowshoes. She just brings.
How do they have halfling sized snowshoes?
They're child size.
They're child size.
Oh, nice.
Pippa
very
refuses
nice.
To acknowledge that.
So after that, Abraxas, you get really excited as you see her opening up the stew and she begins pouring bowls for everybody and you all sit around the table.
I think Pippa is sitting at the, like, as far away from the children as she possibly can. Human children freak her out because they are her size.
I imagine Pippa always just has like a wand of enlarged person at some point. So whenever she's around children, she casts enlarged person in herself. So just...
No. Pippa staunchly refuses to acknowledge that she is short. They are tall.
Everyone else is just tall.
Everyone else is really freakishly tall.
We're the freaks. That's it.
You're the freak.
Solved it.
So Pippa would never change her size. She doesn't want to be a human adult size. That's outlandish.
So instead she has a wand of reduced person, so she shrinks everyone to her size.
There we go.
Oh, that actually, I think
that would be much. That would be much more fun.
So, what you're saying, if she was a witch queen, she would make it where everybody was smaller, not frozen wastelands.
Oh, absolutely! Nice. Like she would make a land where everybody was halfling.
It would be Munchkin land.
It would be Munchkin land, and she would be very happy. But anyway, but like kids often also human children don't really know what to do with her either, especially if they're not really familiar with halflings, because they think that like she might be a child too, and so she just makes a point of just avoiding them completely. So she's using her finest manners at the opposite end of the table.
Is she sitting in the high chair? God.
Fuck you.
Nah, man, she's a lady. She has some fucking books. She's Dustin. A lady.
Yeah.
Sitting on some books.
tell us about is there a ruling witch nearby? Who controls this area? Who's in charge?
Outside the town is the Pale Tower, and in the tower there is this witch named Radosek. He is a cruel witch in this area, and he constantly comes and torments us and takes our supplies. He took my daughter. In exchange, we were supposed to bring him food, and I was going to get her back. And she starts to cry a little bit, and she's like, excuse me, and she gets up and goes off into another room and closes the door, and you kind of hear some sniffing. She's actually been doing a really good job keeping composed this entire time, and I think now that she's, like, finally home and realizing her daughter, and then, like, the fact she has to tell her sons, she needs some time to herself.
Pippa, could we give her one of the gems? She's risking a lot housing us.
That's a fine idea, Abraxas.
I know we have plenty to spare, but I trust your judgment, and how much would assist?
No, we would be very ungrateful guests indeed, especially in such a dangerous area, to not, you know, offer some kind of compensation.
It's funny as you say that, you actually see some of the gems kind of floating off to the side and being put into a cabinet, and then the door closing. A little while later, you see your guy, and I think you're kind of a little shocked, like, what the hell's going on? And at the same time, you see the keys for Baba Yaga's hut. They go floating along. A drawer gets pulled out, and they go into the drawer, and the drawer closes. And I think you guys go to look in the room to see what happens, and you see all of your bags are completely emptied, and everything has been put away.
Oh, God.
I thought somebody was stealing our shit, and I was like, yeah. What the hell?
What?
So it's like a magic hut.
The room is actually cleaner than when you guys last left it. Maybe, like, you guys were looking in the mirror and, like, accidentally smudged the mirror and the smudge is gone. And, like, everything's almost sparkly clean.
How do I purchase this cabin?
Is this a spirit? Is this... I start sniffing around the room. And I mean, like, going on all fours. Not turning to wolf, but, like, as a man, all fours, sniffing around, like, licking surfaces.
You smell a fae in this room.
Ooh. Fae. And it doesn't really come out. He's really sick and tired of him.
Does he have a location?
There's something in the closet.
Oh, I'm the approach. I smell fae. Is it similar to the ones that we've fought before?
It smells like, yeah, it smells like the fae that you fought before, yeah.
Get out.
If it's a fae, it's just a very friendly one, but...
A helpful one.
Is it coming from that closet?
Manette, can you see if it has ill intent?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think I have to see it or know its location, right? Is there something
Sniff
like
it
that?
Out then. I can sniff out invisible things.
It has to be on a specific
things.
Thing. Yeah. Abraxas, could you locate it for me?
Happily. I'm a zero in.
You watch it. He's behind the door of that closet, and it's a small closet, so you know when you open it up, there's a good chance it's going to be there.
I immediately detect evil.
You do not detect evil.
Yay.
Oh, good. Whoo!
Manette is still not convinced, though, that this is...
I switch to Sylvan. Creature of, we mean no harm to you, no harm to this household, so we will not bring harm to the lady of this house, nor its inhabitants, and we just ask that you refrain from taking anything that's not yours.
A little while later, like a couple seconds, the door opens, and you see this bluish, impish-looking fae with wings. You see a little black feather out of the side of his mouth, like he might have ate one of your ravens.
No!
That's okay.
Brax is going to compose himself, just going to keep it together.
I was so angry when you were here, but you brought Thora back. And I just wanted to help, so I put this stuff away.
Oh, oh.
Oh my
God. Well, now I feel sheepish. Thank you. Yes, we mean no harm to the inhabitants, and we will bring Thora's killer to justice.
You're going to kill Rattlesick?
Yes. When I switch languages, I'll sign at the same time. That way I could keep speaking the language I'm speaking.
There's like a fear and like anger in his eyes at the same time. Like he's fighting two sides of him.
I hate that tower. I hate it. Everything about it.
What can you tell us about this tower and its inhabitants?
Roll me a diplomacy check.
Oh, gosh, I will do my best. Come on, diplomacy. Well, 10, or I guess 12 with the assist?
Yeah, because I definitely passed my diplomacy.
What did you get for your diplomacy there, so, Pippa?
19.
I'm gonna say that it's the other way around. I think Abraxas, you start to go, and then Pippa goes, and you give her the assist. So you got a 21.
Does he speak common?
He does speak common. He's just like... Okay. He begins to kind of tell you a story, and basically he used to serve at the Pale Tower. He's like, I belonged to Rattlesick. Every time I messed up, he would hurt me, and he would beat me. And one time was just one time too many, and he just threw me out in the snow. I was going to die, but Nadia found me and brought me here. And I love those children so much, but Thora and I became good friends. And it's my fault she's gone. He begins to mumble a little bit. I used to tell her jokes and make jokes about the witches. And one day when they were visiting, she made one of those jokes to them and they took her. They took her. It's all my fault.
No, you're not responsible for the cruelty of those creatures.
It's so dangerous there. I wish I could help, but I can't. But you must stop them. You must stop them and murder him.
I mean, I don't think murder is the right word, but like, how about assassinate?
Bring to justice.
Yeah, well, okay, sure. That
the Fantastic Worlds podcast is a Fantastic Pods production. I would like to thank Amy Hankinson for writing our wonderful theme song, Sirenscape for use of sound effects and music, Paizo for the wonderful Reign of Winter adventure path, and all you listeners. Until next week, I am Dustin Alexander. You can reach me on Twitter at Dustin Alexander.
I'm Abby, and you can find me on Twitter at Bonanza Famine.
This is Angel. My Twitter handle is Espinoza916.
This is Kay, and you can reach me on Twitter at She's Lady Macbeth.
This is Jess. You can reach me on Twitter at Hank the Clank.
Please remember to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Follow us and share on social media. If you do share, use the hashtag WorldsTraveler so we can thank you for your spreading the word. Your support makes a huge difference. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, I hope you have many fantastic adventures.
Man, I'm finally there. I drank one drink, and then I refilled it, and now I'm on second drink.
Feeling better?
I'm feeling a lot better.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Magical.
Good. It's that vegan Bailey's that is just
what's
so
it called?
Good. It's just Bailey's. They make an almond milk Bailey's.
Nice. Yum.
They have the original, and they have strawberry and cream. They're
both. I would drink the shit out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, man. It's so good. That I mix it good. In with like a little bit of like normal almond milk. Oh my Yum. God. Or I put it in like coffee, girl. Fucking good as shit.
Angel, what were you going to say?
Oh, I'm playing Pathfinder Kingmaker. I use Flare all the time as a zero level spell. Because my characters are. I think I'm at fourth level now. Yeah. Oh, I finally. Yeah. I was. I remember because when I got fourth level, it's like, hey, I'm a higher level than my actual character in Pathfinder is.
Oh, God.
Flare God. Is still a very viable spell for that negative bonus to the enemies. They get beefy.
They do, but like, do they still have to, like, all they have to pass is a DC 13, right? Is that true in Kingmaker too?
Well, they don't have the same restriction like Dustin, so I was able to get my wisdom to 18 at first level.
Oh.
So
yeah.
You could really juice your boy.